as you sit in traffic trying to get home or wherever you're headed this afternoon, trying to negotiate your way through all those red lights in front of you on the highway or the side streets, imagine if you didn't have to worry about that at all because the car could do it itself. That's one of those futuristic fantasy things that I've heard about my entire life. Two of them, in fact. One was the flying car, which Dr. Paul Mahler and others are still trying to perfect and get to market. The other one is that car that drives itself, where you just sit there as a passenger, reading the newspaper or taking a nap or talking on the cell phone or eating a burger and fries without having to steer with your knees. Well, that concept has recently taken a giant leap towards reality when last month in the Mojave Desert, a team of engineers from Stanford University had a driverless robot car go over a course without getting into an accident on its own. I read about this in a piece written by Newsweek columnist Stephen Levy, and I was so intrigued by it, I thought, let's get the guy behind this on the show. And so here he is, the head of the Artificial Intelligence Lab at Stanford University, Sebastian Thrun. Thanks for coming on the show this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So is the idea that I won't have to do anything?
The idea is to basically free people of the need to focus on the road and on driving itself. A good number of us spend hours a day in traffic jams in commuting, and it's really lost time for all of us. So the idea is to build cars that drive themselves.
Okay, you tried this out in the desert. How did it go?
Well, we had a race this year. It was the second race of its kind. DARPA, part of the Department of Defense, had put $2 million behind it as prize money. And the task was to drive 131 miles to unrehearsed desert terrain. To DARPA's surprise, within 2 years, they were able to build a car that actually did this in less than 7 hours. And we won $2 million.
You won the $2 million. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
So is that $2 million that DARPA, by the way, is the same agency that helped get the Internet going and has been involved in a bunch of controversial stuff, but this one is a great idea. Was that $2 million prize to you the same as the X Prize was to Burt Rutan?
My prize certainly went to the institution, and Stanford now has a Stanley Fellowship, so there'll be always a graduate student who can study for free because Stanley existed.
Stanley was the name of the car?
Yeah, Stanley's the name of our car.
Okay, so you had Stanley racing through the desert. What did it have to do? It wasn't just a straight line, was it?
No, it's actually quite a tricky race. So the nice thing is we got a corridor, kind of a set of GPS via points from the organizer himself. So it was not an exercise in find your own road. Basically, we knew kind of where the road was. But from that point on, the car was on its own. And basically had to make a perceived environment, find out where the road really is, where the obstacles are, and find its way around any kind of obstacles. It involved a really steep mountain pass that was like a 200-feet deep cliff on one side, and just driving, say, 2-3 feet on the left would have killed the car along the way.
Wow. Have you ever gotten in, Stanley, behind the steering wheel, if there even is one, while it's been running itself?
I can tell you. So part of us involved the first developing this car over the last year or so, and we spent extensive amounts of time in the car, have the car drive itself. The way it works is, it is just like a regular car, except it has a little red button. And the little red button allows us to switch from human control, where we drive the car, back to computer control, where the computers take over and drive the car for us, back to human control in case something goes wrong and we have to save our lives. So we spent more than 1,000 miles in the Mojave Desert and later in the Sonoran Desert in Arizona being driven by this car, wary that it could make a mistake any minute and being ready to take over.
So you were living out the life of Knight Rider. I mean, you were in there with Kit the car, except it didn't talk like William Daniels. Or did it? Does it have a voice?
It doesn't have a voice, but, you know, the Wright brothers spent significant time building up their plane and trying to fly before they were able to fly. And
yeah.
Charles Lindbergh spent lots of time flying airplanes not across the Atlantic before he finally did it.
How nerve-wracking is it, Sebastian, to sit there knowing you're letting the computer drive that car and, oh, here comes that cliff?
It's a great moment. Inside the group, we used to joke that we raised Stanley like our child, and it's a bit like sending your child to college and see the child still making the right decisions. It's taking your hands off and have the car that you've built, like every piece of software that you coded, you built every part of it, making the right decision. So seeing it do the right thing is just a fantastic moment.
Is Stanley ready to get on a real road?
No, not yet. We've often been compared to the Wright brothers, and clearly what the Wright brothers built was not ready for commercial flight yet. Neither is Stanley. There's two big differences to the real road. Number one is there's actually other people in traffic. Stanley has to accommodate those.
You got to build Stanley 2 and Stanley 3 and see how they do with each other.
That's exactly what's happening right now.
So our
next challenge will be to do the same between San Francisco and Los Angeles.
And are we talking about this coming to market at any time in the future for any kind of reasonable price, or is this just a university project?
You know, Paul, to me, this is right now is, of course, a university project, but it's a no-brainer to me that, say, 30 years from now, we have cars that drive themselves. And if you ask why, then look at just what society tolerates right now, because cars are not doing it. For example, we had almost 43,000 people die last year in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I bet lots of your listeners know somebody who died in their lifetime in traffic, mostly because of human error. The car is a young invention. It's about 100 years old, 150, depending on how you count. It's a no-brainer. At some point, we'll use computers to drive cars. It won't happen next year, and the reason why it won't happen instantaneously is not as much technological, but societal, that we have to find out what the legal ramifications are, who's responsible if a driverless car hits a drunk-driving car. Is it the drunk driver, the person responsible, or the computer that went wrong? These are things we have to basically understand over the years to come.
Is the idea behind it that once you do get it to market, that it will be able to drive down and know that that light is turning from green to yellow to red and to slow down and stop there, or that here we're in a school zone and there might be kids crossing the street, and it'll be able to identify the human component of driving as well?
Paul, all of the above. I mean, to be safe, you have to do all of these things. You can't leave one of these things out, and there's clearly challenges for us.
Yeah.
But think of it as a train on the road. Like, you're board a train thinking you can read a newspaper, you can do something else, and you have a lot of convenience because of that, but you can't quite get it drive to your office because there's just no train line in front of your office. You know?
So maybe you
what
get it to work. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But this is going to do blur this difference. So it's the convenience of a self-owned car with the reliability of a train.
And so maybe you get it to work on a highway first and let us handle the side streets and then work on the other technology later.
That's exactly the plan.
Very, very exciting. Congratulations on your victory and the $2 million, Sebastian. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Sebastian Thrun, who's head of the Artificial Intelligence Lab at Stanford University, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.